Tonight we are talking about the doctrine of justification by faith, or justification through faith. That idea that he's historic, and it's, I'm not sure if you realize it or not, but you were born into that. If you're a Protestant Christian, you were born into the idea when you became a Christian, you were born again, and if you were raised in a Christian home, you were kind of taught this idea of justification by faith. Tonight, we're going to try something different. Tonight, we're doing something called a stalk. And a stalk is a study slash talk. So it's not just me talking the whole time. I'm just going to introduce the big idea, the big question that we need to kind of tackle tonight. And we're going to tackle that together in small groups. So we're going to have kind of, big talk, small talk, and big talk again at the end, as we wrap it up 5 minutes at the end, as part of the whole Wednesday talks. We've done a lot of talking. This is what we do. Christians, we think, we're in university, we think and we talk and we engage, and we engage with the gospel to help us better know what we believe, so that when we're explaining to others, it's crystal clear. And this tonight is a very important thing to understand, the idea of faith. And it's often misunderstood. Particularly, you'll notice, if you talk to your friends about faith, some people have got no idea, some people claim to have all the idea, and you kind of see, actually, there's problems there. And in the end, it's the Bible that gives us the idea of what faith is. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you are the God who is just and who brings justice, and yet who justifies even the ungodly, and that you do this through faith. Father, faith is such a small little word with so much meaning. And Father, we pray that you would give us understanding. Make it crystal clear to us tonight what faith is, that we may be able to, in our conversations, explain it to others, but moreover, that we ourselves may have our trust, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and be justified. In his name we pray. Amen. A few years ago, just to introduce the idea for a couple of minutes, a few years ago I was a university student and I was living in a residence in a cottage of seven other people, and we shared the living room and that sort of thing together, and we cooked meals together, if you could call it cooking. And the guy next to me, John, was a Coptic Orthodox, and I didn't really know much about Coptic Orthodox because I was from Tamora, and I was kind of new to the world, just left the country town. But we had lots of chats, and it was really good fun. He was a fellow, a Christian person, and so we really enjoyed living next door to each other. And one night, John asked me a really important question. He said to me, "Russ, if you died tonight, would you go to heaven?" I thought, I've used that question before in evangelism. He's asking me the evangelism question. This is interesting. Just sort of came up over dinner, and I said, yes, I am. Brother, I'm going to heaven tonight. He goes, "Oh, I pray for you, Russ." How can you be sure? How do you know? I said, because I have faith in Jesus. He said, "Oh, no." He said, "No." And he got worked up. He said, "No, that's not how it is." He said, "Yeah, you got faith. That's not enough. You've got to have works. You've got to have faith and works, and you've got to work. How do you know? You've got to work for your salvation, Russ. I don't see you working enough. I know your life, and I see what you do. Yeah, you go to the Christian Union Club thing, we call it Christian Fellowship there, but you don't work enough. You got to do some things, and let me tell you what you got to do." I was not expecting this. Here I was thinking I was going to heaven because I had faith in Jesus, and he said, "Well, yes." John said, "I have faith in Jesus too, Russ, but I do works as well." And so, the doctrine of justification by faith comes to mind. What does it mean? Firstly, what does it mean to have faith? So what is faith? There's two questions tonight. Firstly, what is faith? What is that word that we kind of throw out there, and not just in Christian circles, mind you? Faith is a delight. I reckon the people that use Christian jargon more than Christians are sporting commentators. Have you noticed that? "Oh, he's redeemed himself with that one. Oh, yes, he's come behind there. And, oh, look, he's sacrificed himself for that." But, they just use Christian jargon. Like, we wonder about ourselves. I wonder, do I use too much Christian jargon in my life? And I think if non-Christians are watching the sport, they're going, "What the heck is he talking about? Redemption, atonement, sanctification." I don't know if they're using those words, but you get the picture. Faith is one of those jargon words sometimes, isn't it? Although we kind of, society knows sort of what it's about, It tends to be a jargon word because it's misunderstood. What is faith is the first big question. The second big question that we're going to answer in our small groups is this. So what is faith? Secondly, why is the doctrine just means your belief, your teaching, why is this understanding of this phrase, which is a historic phrase from the Reformation, justification by faith, it's also a biblical phrase, you see from Romans 5 verse 1, why is that phrase so important? Why of all the phrases of the Bible is justification by faith or through faith? Why are those three words so important? They're the two big questions. What is faith? What is it? What is that substance, this thing called faith? And secondly, why is justification by faith so important? And keep my friend John in the back of your mind, because, yeah, he believes in both, but there's something else going on there. Okay? Let's now get in our small talks, small groups. This just means casually find some friends. If you don't know many people, that's fine. You can hang out with me if you want. I'll be your friend. I don't have a lot, many. I'm joking. In your small groups, those eight. You notice the first one, Nietzsche, Friedrich Nietzsche. He's a famous guy. If you're studying arts or you're doing any philosophy, you'll come across him. I'm sorry, Friedrich. I'm just a farm boy from Tamora. I call him Fred. All right. So Nietzsche, of course, is the famous atheist scholar. And he says, I cannot believe in a God who wants to be praised all the time. I cannot believe in a God. And it's kind of funny because we were singing and praising God earlier. We praise God in our prayers. We praise God in our living. And people walk past us and see us praising God. And it's kind of an odd thing. And he says, I can't believe. I can't have faith. Can't believe. Can't trust a God who wants to be praised all the time. Now, if he thought about it one step further, what's the philosophical understanding of God and humanity, at least the understanding between the difference between the two? You know, I've got an idea. What is the basic philosophical difference between God and man, even if it's just God as an idea? Yeah, God is God and we're not. It's the basic philosophical. Even when, you know, Plato and Aristotle and everyone else is thinking about God, God has to be. If God is God and I'm a human person, God is bigger. Even if God or gods are the kind of, you know, sometimes immoral creatures running the universe, at least they're bigger than the mortal people like us. And the basic assumption is, if God is bigger than us, well, there is some praise due to him if he's the creator of things. But that's just Nietzsche, and he's kind of a sad person. He ends up in a spiral end of his life, realizing that this sort of stuff doesn't actually hold up. Other people we see there on our quotes, we've got Richard Dawkins. Richard Dawkins wrote The God Delusion. If you haven't read it, get it, because it's just interesting. Richard Dawkins is he writes in a kind of an angry manner. He's just got an axe to grind. This is not particularly his field either. He's not his specialty. I noticed on Sunday on Compass, you know, that show is supposed to be religious, they're having a Richard Dawkins special, and he's done his thing on against Christianity. He showed the world how faith is ridiculous, and now he's going to show the world how superstition is ridiculous. Now, I think superstition is ridiculous too, but he thinks he has dealt with faith, and he says things like this: faith is one of the world's greatest great evils, comparable to smallpox virus, but harder to eradicate. Now, what is a hit on that's true there? What is Richard Dawkins hit on that's actually true? That's exactly true. Why is it hard to eradicate? Put in our hearts. So Christians, we know that faith's put in our hearts. So even when you try and kill every little Christian you can find, you know, Nero's out there killing Christians and Stalin and anyone else is out there killing the Christians, the problem is this. God's out there making Christians. Faith's put in our hearts. Now, what else is the problem with the idea that faith, now let's think more generally. Thanks. Your little thing on your shirt, that's great. What is it generally about faith that is the problem? Yeah, everyone has some sort of faith system. A faith system. There's a philosopher, Christian philosopher, Alvin Plantinga. He's still alive. You can read his thesis. It's quite good. And he's particularly looking at the problem of evil. And he shows everyone has a faith system. Everyone has a belief system. Whether your belief system is arranged like a crate of bricks, where you've got a foundation, and this is your foundation. It might be an atheistic manifesto. That's your foundation. There is no God. I believe these things based on that. For a Christian person, of course, it's different. It's God's word. God teaches us from his word that everything about himself is true, and we see that, and that's our foundation. Other belief systems might be a cobweb. It's all an interlocking, sort of spiraling belief system that all connects together, and you adjust one thing and adjust other things. Whatever it is, regardless, everyone has a faith system, including Richard Dawkins. Now, Richard Dawkins' big thing is, and you'll see on his show on Sunday, his idea is that faith is void of reason. So you only actually really understand things in life if you use reason. Faith is void of reason. And we're going to see that actually that's not true in our discussion in a minute. Yeah, faith is... Yeah. Well, it actually, in a small way, goes beyond it, but faith requires reason, and faith requires fact, and faith requires something to trust in. And that's how we'll see it. So we get there anyway. We're only 30 seconds, a minute away from that, so we're almost on that sort of station down the track. But at the moment, we're at, quote station. And we'll just skip Sam Harris. Sam Harris is another angry young man, and he's written this book, A Letter to a Christian Nation. And he has a challenge to faith. If you want to borrow that and read it, it's a short read. It's pretty easy to read. And again, doesn't hold up much in the end, but he's got something to say. It's good to read opinion. And the last one, we'll see Benjamin Franklin. He's a deist, a famous kind of a person in American history, and Americans love their Christians and people who believe in Jesus and God. But Benjamin Franklin was one of those people that kind of just wanted to say, actually, faith is devoid of reason. He wanted, and he's a smart man. So he's what they call a kind of Renaissance man. He was had ability. He just had a massive brain. And people say, faith is the eye shut of reason. Faith and reason don't go together. But this is actually a problem. It's also a problem for the Christian faith. If we think that there's no reason in faith, we misunderstand what exactly is going on when we trust in Jesus. So let's now look at the first question. What is faith? Yes, we are. We're almost at that station. What is faith, firstly? There are two big questions we had. What is faith? From our discussion, from these questions, as we went through the text, what is faith? Question 4.4 helped us. Trusting God. I'm throwing it out there. Diza. Believing in things unseen. Hope. Fully persuaded. Yeah, so let's combine those things together. And when we talk about faith, when we are saying faith in God or faith in the gospel, trust in the gospel, we're saying it's trusting God. Some things are unseen. We don't yet see heaven, but we trust God that heaven is to come, the new creation is to come. Some things, although you're not yet seen, we are yet fully convinced of. How is it we are yet fully convinced of these things when we haven't seen them? Well, because we see that God is trustworthy. We see that in the Bible, God has all his promises, and we saw in chapter 4 of Romans, God made promises to Abraham that I will give you, even your childless, I will give you children. But that moreover, the bigger picture, Abraham, is this. The promise is, I will actually out of you make a nation, and out of that nation will come the Saviour to save all nations. And all that came true. God has shown himself to be completely trustworthy. And so you trust in God, not because you go, I'm just not sure. I just don't know. God seems like a nice guy, but I just don't know. No, you actually can know God is fully trustworthy by looking at history, by looking at what God promised. It all came together in Jesus Christ. So he's trustworthy. Faith is trust in God. It's trust in God. If you want to boil it down, that's what faith is. When we talk about Christian faith, you trust in God. Specifically, you're trusting in God's salvation, Jesus Christ. Now, secondly then, why is justification by faith so important? Before we get to that, let's go back to faith and reason. Some people think that when it comes to trusting in God, it's a complete blind leap. And I've seen tracts written on that, and I used to kind of think that, except it kind of falls down. It falls down at this point when we start to think about, if God is trustworthy, then it's not a blind leap, is it? So you don't go, I'm just going to guess. I'm just going to, maybe God's trustworthy, and then I'll all of a sudden trust God. It's not like that. Before you trust in God, you see that, look what God has done in Jesus. And never do I say, I trust in my own, I trust in myself and having enough faith. So people say to me, oh, I wish I had your faith. I've only got half faith or a substance of faith. Faith is not a substance. Roman Catholicism sees faith as a substance. Faith is not a substance. Faith is actually an objective trust in something else. It's not a substance you can have. You can't have a half measure of faith. You don't say, well, I kind of half trust the seat I'm sitting on right now. I half trust, you know, the car that I'm getting into. You might have some worries, but you get into the car. You sit on the seat. You trust in God. Faith is a trust, objective trust in God, not in self. So therefore, where does reason come into it? It comes into it at this point. If God is trustworthy, then you need to think about why you're trusting in God. Why trust in Jesus? Not just because you just guess or it's a blind leap, but you actually trust because of God's promises. See why Abraham trusted? Chapter 4. He believed God. He believed God's promises. His trust was totally found in God, not in himself. And so he actually uses reason, God-given reason, to trust in God. The only reason we can think is because God gives us minds. The only reason we can listen to God's word is because God gives us ears and a brain to work out the words and know what it means. And it's all God-given. And even we need reason. And the thinkers of our society, the so-called scholars and the atheistic scholars of our society, have tried to take reason away from Christianity. Yes, we have faith in things unseen. We have faith in things unseen because it's reasonable to show that God is trustworthy. We trust in God. That thinking people can be Christian people. And particularly Christian people are the ones who've created universities and all sorts of... We are thinkers. We say that actually to trust in God is not just a guess. Is to get God's word, read the promises, and trust in him because he is trustworthy. And so faith and reason actually go together. Yep, but no. Well, so it depends what you're talking about. So when it comes to what you're having faith in, what exactly will I look like in heaven, right? You know, St. Augustine, famous Christian scholar of the early centuries, he was famous for saying in heaven, because he wrote about everything. So often these guys, they write this whole compendiums of what Christianity, all they're thinking. He said in heaven, you're going to be 25 years old, butt naked, and at your prime, that's what you're going to look like. Thing is, Scripture doesn't talk about heaven in that way. We don't know exactly what you look like. It doesn't know it'll be physical. So I can have a reasonable faith. My reasonable faith says, God tells me I'll have a body in heaven, in the new creation. So I can see and trust in this objective truth. Now, I don't know exactly what I'll look like, and... I trust that God is right and just, and when it comes to will all my family be in heaven? Well, they won't, but will I be crying? Well, the Bible says there'll be no tears. So I trust there'll be no tears in heaven. I don't know exactly how or why. I still trust God, but it's never blind in the sense that I'm just guessing. I just believe because I should or I have to. I believe because God gives me faith, but I believe in God's promises. There are some things I can't exactly see. There are things unseen, but I believe in what God promises me. Otherwise, if faith is a blind leap in the dark, you can have faith in anything. Scientists take blind leaps of faith. And we're not asking people to take a blind leap of faith. Just believe because you just believe. Because what are you believing in? We're asking people to believe in Jesus, who is a true historical reality. Now, when it comes to what you're going to look like in heaven, when people say, you know, will my baby be 25 years old? We don't know. I trust that God has it all worked out. But that's not the primary reason. That's not the big thing I want people to trust in. I don't want people to leap in the dark about Jesus. I want them to trust in the reality of Jesus.
Were you talking about children trusting parents? Is that what I heard you say as an example?
And like having faith like a child.
Like a child. about the child and parent relationship, what does the child trust and believe? Because their parents love them. They've never had any reason to think otherwise if their parents love them. Kids who are abused, you see them, they're very broken. They don't believe like a child in the way we think. They have good reason because their parents have proven themselves trustworthy over and over again. They keep loving them. And so to believe like a child is to receive that love, surely.
Yeah, there's still an element of God, I'm trusting just because they say so. And yes,
I... But even that includes reason, doesn't it?
It's the promise, yeah.
Yeah, but it's
because they say so. Not completely, but we're saying faith is not devoid of reason,
yeah, so
is the point.
Yeah.
Except, I don't like the term jump or leap, because those terms infer that there's something you don't fully can't trust about God. I understand where you're coming from, but
But
we, God, you, when you have God's word given to you, that is fully trustworthy. There is no reason you have to kind of go, oh, I'm not sure about that last bit, I just got to jump. You can trust completely in what God has done for you. So when I ask someone to become a Christian, I don't say, you just got to believe, man, you just got to believe. I pray that God will give them faith, because Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us faith is actually a gift of God. You can't believe without God giving it to you. I believe that God changes that person, but I never say, you just, come on, man, you just got to believe. You just say, actually, Jesus is completely trustworthy, so trustworthy. You got to trust in Jesus. Stop doubting and believe, Jesus says to Thomas. And he doesn't say make the jump. He says, look, here's the evidence. Believe in the evidence. This is real. And so I understand where you're coming from. Faith is a spiritual thing. It is given to you by God, and you can't reason people into the kingdom. You can never argue someone into the kingdom. I can never sit at a table here in the SU building and argue my friend or someone into the kingdom of God. Never do that, because all it takes is the next other argument to come along and argue them out of it. But in the end, when I pray for them and what I'm asking them to do is to trust completely in Jesus, because he is trustworthy. No guessing, no leaping. You just say, there's Jesus. Do you trust him or not? Yep.
So if we can't reason them into faith, that's because the faith is from God. It's not from us. Does that make sense?
Yep. I should have put on Ephesians 2:8-9. So Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 on there as a cross-reference. That would be helpful. But the idea is, you look through Romans, and we see that none of us are righteous. Romans 3, none of us are righteous. 3:21, but now God is, in his righteousness, has done this, and he gives us faith, and he's done it all in Jesus. He's done it all in Jesus. And faith is not devoid of reason, because God is trustworthy. You actually need to think about that. You need to hear the gospel and trust in it. People who become Christians are people who are trusting in Jesus. Because this is the last point I want to say is, if faith is trusting God, if it's not this substance, because the Roman Catholicism will say it's a substance. You know, you have some faith, but you need to top it up with something else, like going to Mass. In the old days, was indulgences, things like that, your works. Other religions will say, you know, you've got to work for salvation. The average Australian thinks they've got to be good enough for God, and they generally think they are. But you point out, actually, you're a sinner, just like, you know, others are. You do evil, you do wrong. In the end, this justification by faith is so important because it speaks to a world with no answers. The world has his burden on its back. Every person has his burden. I've got to be good enough for God. And justification by faith, that doctrine says, no, is what God has done for you. You can trust in Jesus, and that burden is gone. You don't have to work for your salvation. So when I talk to my Coptic Orthodox friend John, my response is, I pray for you, because you need to know you can never work for this. It's all God's work done for you, and you need to trust in him. Because when you start trusting in yourself or your works, when you start thinking, I've got to do something and I've got to go this way, that way, you know, you will never get there. Put your trust in Jesus, not in yourself, not in this substance within yourself. Faith is not this thing that you have and no one else has. Faith is the trust in Jesus bit. That's what faith is. And so we want to pray for our world. We want to pray for our world under burden. We'll pray for our world now. Megan's going to lead us in prayer. We'll pray about some things we already discussed tonight. We'll pray about our world. Other things we want to pray about, we can talk about now, we can raise. And we'll pray that people on this campus will know that they can be justified with God, made right with God through faith. And they release that burden of works from them. And they can also know that it's something that they can hear and they can believe in. It's trustworthy. It's a reasonable faith. It's not unreasonable to trust in God. Let's pray.